You know, I think really about the only thing I don't do anymore is I still do not spoil new things within the 48-hour rule, and there's nothing right now that fits that, that's confirmed. So everything's in play. No, I do not know how to find the golden mushroom. And no, I do not know how to get that golden meat stack trophy that Hasselhoff has. So other than that, alright, I'm going to go ahead and play some songs. If you would go ahead and start sending in questions, I won't get to them until the second hour, but I'd like to have a bank of questions set up and ready to go. So this is Ashlyn, you're listening to State of the Kingdom, just 4 hours early here on Radio KOL. Yes, nice musical interlude, and I got a whopping one question. warning, second hour suckage is approaching. Alright. So let's talk, shall we, about passive skills. And I bring up passive skills because passive skills are something that a lot of times get overlooked because they're not as flashy and they're not as woo as some of the non-passive skills, you know, your attacks and your buffs. But a good set of passive skills can actually make your gameplay, especially in softcore, much more exciting, fun, rewarding, especially for those of you who are setting up a farmer character. So let's talk, and I'm going to basically kind of go through the different types of passive skills that there are. I'm only worrying about passive, I'm not worrying about non-combat, I'm not worrying about buffs, I'm not worrying about combat attacks. No, the passive skills only, the ones that are always on. And we'll start off with, and I'm not going to do this by class, I'm going to do this by what they do, because that tends to be a fairly good thing. And we're going to start off with damage. And the way this is set up, there are two melee damage passives, and there are two spell damage passives. Seal Clover has two melee damage passive skills, Claws of the Otter, Claws of the Walrus. Now, those of you who are fan favorites of the LTS Synergy scheme, you know what those are. Claws of the Otter adds 3 melee damage to your attack. Claws of the Walrus adds 4 melee damage to your attack. So that's 7 extra damage points that you can hit. And if you could kill a monster as is with no monster levels added on, you could then raise it up to level 7 and still be guaranteed to hit it and kill it in one shot. If you can't, then you'd be looking at some of the more active skills. Conversely, if you look at Sorcerer class, there are two skills that are spell damage, Intrinsic Spiciness and Immaculate Seasoning. Now, they work a little bit different. Intrinsic Spiciness is 1 damage per level, max of 10. The Immaculate Seasoning does the same thing, and they stack, so you could, if you're level 10, have 20 points of damage. What's nice about the Immaculate Seasoning is it always adjusts itself to the element that is will do the best damage to your monster. So, oh yeah. Yeah, second hour is going to suck. I can tell. No questions. So you have 4 skills, and so, you know, see, this is the thing, is that they kind of, they're doing some things that could make a mysticality class look much more enticing in the late game. They still need to have something with spell be guaranteed to hit, and then it's like gold, and does double damage. But, so there are 2 melee damage, 2 spell damage, okay? Next thing we're going to look at is damage absorption. And a lot of people say, you know what, this is kind of stupid. Damage absorption doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. Well, it does if you have a lot of damage absorption skills. If you just have 1, you won't see anything. If you have a lot of damage absorption skills, and then you put on the damage absorption buffs and the actives and the extra effects, then yeah, it starts working a little bit. It's still not as dramatic as some people would want, but oh well. There are 3 passive damage absorptions. 2 of them are Seal Clover, and 1 of them is a Turtle Tamer. Hide of the Otter will do a damage absorption of 20. Hide of the Walrus will do a damage absorption of 40. Now, then there are tables. You can go onto the wiki and you can look at, okay, if I have this much damage absorption number point, this is how much percentage of damage is dropped off. And it's not a linear relationship, which is why a lot of people say it doesn't work, because it starts out slow, but as you get more and more and more, it starts to increase fairly quickly. And then Skin of the Leatherback, which is a turtle tamer skill, and right now that one's kind of an unknown percentage, which might be a good thing for people to actually start doing some experimentation on, to figure out what the damage or the amount is for Skin of the Leatherback. So you have those three passives, and I'm going to go 20 just for argument with Skin of the Leatherback, just because of where it's at. You know, that's 80 points. That could knock off, you know, a couple points of damage here and there, which might save you one or two times. And then you've got your four damage. Now, the two melee damage most people are familiar with, because that is part of LTS synergy, which is what everybody uses these days as a muscle class near the end game when they're going for sheer combat ability, not for farming. Okay? Well, what else then is there that can help with combat? We have a Disco Bandit skill called Overdeveloped Self, or Sense of Self-Preservation. It gives you 20% to combat initiative. Now, combat initiative, you like big deal, you get first shot, but that's the whole theme of LTS synergy, is that you get first shot and you hit them with such force that you kill them in first shot. So getting combat initiative is fairly important. If you have the self-preservation and then you add on the springy facility, the wind-up clock, there's another song, there's an accordion thief buff, Clarity, I think? I don't remember. But you have all those, you pretty much are not going to get hit. So, combat initiative, that helps. Okay, well, what else can we do? Well, we have damage absorption, but we can also do elemental resistance. And that elemental resistance seems to be more obvious for people, because, of course, you get the markings in your display and your character profile. And then you can kind of see the numbers going down a little bit easier with elemental resistance. There are five passive ones. We've talked about this before, and that they are the level 13 skill set. Save the accordion thief, which, of course, you know, the accordion thief is always a song buff. So there are no passive accordion thief skills. But there are five. We have Northern Exposure, which is a seal clover that deals with cold. We have Tolerance of the Kitchen, which is Postomancer, that deals with heat. Heart of Polyester, which is Disco Bandit, that deals with sleaze. Cold-Blooded Fearlessness, that's spookiness from a Turtle Tamer. And Diminished Gag Reflex, which is Sorcerer with Stench. Now, these all have, you know, usage. And yes, Elemental Sorcerer hits all five at once, but let's think about this. If I have Northern Exposure, I don't have to fund that skill whenever I go to the Icy Peak. That's mana points that I can use to beat the crap out of somebody. If I have the Diminished Gag Reflex, I don't have to have Elemental Sorcerer going into the Bat Junction, the Guano Junction. And then there is a heat, there's a cold, there's a spooky, I don't think there's a sleazy yet, in the daily dungeon, those tests. So you have these passive resistances. Suddenly Elemental Sorcerer basically becomes a booster spell, a spell that you use not to gain the resistance, but to make it stronger when you're going into a combat situation. So it in essence becomes a buff more than I need this to get through. Your passive skills take that place for you. And then there is the ever-popular Wisdom of the Elder Tortoises. That's plus 50% hit points. You know, hey, those are pretty good. You know, everybody can do everything good for hit points. But unfortunately, that's the only really passive hit point one that there is. There's a few spells and a few buffs, but no other passive. Let's see here. Let's go to drops. This will be what your farmers would be worried about. Okay, I'm making a farmer character. I want as much stuff as possible because I want to make as much meat as possible. What do I do? There are three drop skills. There is Mad Looting Skills, which is Visco Bandit, which is a 20% item drop, which is one of my first four recommended skills that you should always get. And it's unfortunately the only passive item drop skill. It would be nice if there was another one, but there's not. And then there are two meat drops, Expert Panhandling, Sorcerer, 10% meat, and Expert Panhandling, 10%, or 20% from Nimble Fingers from Disco Bandit. And oh my gosh, I completely forgot to look at the Gnomish skills. Holy crap, because I just like, wait, those passive, crap, I completely forgot to look at those. Hold on a second. Let's go to those real quick, shall we? Wow, because I'm an idiot. Wow, I don't know why I forgot to even look at those. Alright, so let's see here. Yeah, because, oh look, hey, more skills. Nefarious Pickpocketing is a 10% monster meat draw, and yes, that is passive. And Gnomish Hardiness is a 5% hit point, and Cosmic Understanding is 5% mana point, and Power of Observation is a 10% item drop. Yeah, so I completely forgot those. And then there's the Source Awareness, which is passive, lets you wear shirts. So, yes, those are passive, and I'm an idiot for forgetting those. And I'm surprised nobody, as he pointed, Yusuf has pointed, you forgot this one. Don't beg. Anyway, continuing on. Let's see, so I looked at those. So, if I'm a meat farmer, okay, I can get Nimble Fingers, Expert Panhandlings, and I believe it was Pickpocketing is the one I said. Let me look here. No. Yeah. Nefarious Pickpocketing. That's 10%, then another 10%, then another 20%. That's 40% meat drops right there. Now, if I then add that in, that's passive. Passive drops. Well, in the larger areas, that's an extra 100 meat. And then I can go, ooh, look, I'm going to put on Polka Plenty, and I'm going to put on a Red Snow Cone, and I'm going to put on these items that gives me more meat, and hey, suddenly you get large amounts of meat. So that's where they get these from. And let's see here. What else is important? Well, of course, we have Amphibian Sympathy. Again, one of my first four skills you should always get. Turtle Tamer gives you 5 to your familiar level. Very important. Because I'm trying to keep these kind of combined into kind of concepts. And really at this point, we kind of get some weird ones that really don't have a lot of amounts. Let's see here. Let's go to crafting. There are two crafting skills that allow you to make more advanced stuff. Armor Crafting is from Turtle Tamer. Allows you to do helmets and pants. And Super Advanced Meat Smithing from Steel Clover allows you to do weapons / whips. And that's pretty much you can do your head, your pants, and your weapon. You can't really do accessories, can't really do anything else. But there's a new crafting skill. I don't know what it is. Don't ask me. I don't know. Steel Clovers is going to have. And should be entertaining from all accounts. Should be entertaining. And then we have two skills, which everyone seems to love right now. And these are the dual wields. The dual wielding and the dual items. And the Dexterous Funk Sleeking from Disco Bandit allows you to do 2 items in 1 attack. Great against 90 sorceress. And then double-fisted skull smashing from Steel Clover is the dual wield. And, dual icicle wielding? Hot. Both very good skills, I would add. And I would actually put those kind of on a second tier of skills to get if you're doing a lot of combat runs. Let's see here. Then we have skills that kind of adjust what stat is looked at during combat. We have Spirit of Rigatoni, the Postomancer. Instead of muscles to hit, you hit with mysticality if you have a staff. And then here in the half shell, instead of moxie to miss, it looks at your muscle. Which, if you have a shield, I believe. So, Let's see here. What else? I'm running out of passive skills, which is fine. And I'm missing a couple of them that people like, dude, you haven't talked about these yet. Of course I haven't talked about them, because they're the more well-known passive skills, and that would be Eye of the Stoat. Eye of the Stoat is one of the key linchpins of the LTS synergy strategy. And everybody's asking me about this hardcore contest. I'll get to that in a minute, guys. I promise. I will talk about that in a few minutes. Anyway. Eye of the Stoat. Great skill. Especially if you're going to do the whole LTS synergy. Excellent skill. And then Impetuous Sauciness. Sorcerer skill. Level 12. It doubles your potion length. And early on, having potions are important for survival. The longer you can make them last, the better. As you get more of the LTS energy, this skill actually becomes a little bit less useful. Believe it or not, you don't need it as much. Unless you're lazy as hell, like I was this morning, because I'm doing this teat run. So I'm going to try for a 3-day level 13 run on these Moxie days coming up. Should be fun. You know, I'm trying to do something different. Anyway. And I almost hit it last time, so I can't get a pate. It's gonna use it. Anyway, moving on. I have, I think, only really two more left to talk about passive skills. And one of them is the new Tao the Terrapin, a turtle tamer. It doubles the strength of your hats and pants. That then would help with the damage reduction. And Crossbow Fever, which is a disco bandit, less missing with your crossbow. So, they're okay. So, let's look at this then. If I am a combat-focused character, if I'm a character who wants to do multiple ascensions and do them quickly, what's important to me? Your melee damage, and or your spell damage, depending on if you're doing a muscle focus or a spell focus. Your damage absorption would be important. The dual wield do items would be important early. The element of resistance would be important later because of their high level. Amphibian sympathy, very important immediately. Wisdom of the Elder Tortoises, immediate, relatively important. Your item and meat drops, relatively important. Eye of the Stoat, big time important. That's for combat. Now, if I'm a farmer, it really boils down to four skills plus what you can get from the gnomish skills. So really then there'd be five skills. Mad looting skills for items, expert panhandling for meat drops, nimble fingers for meat drops, powers of observation for item drops, and nefarious pickpocketing for meat drops as well. So five if you're going to be a farmer character that are passive. And then I'm still not talking about the active buffing, but with a lot of the buff bots you can get, you can get a lot of those pretty much for cheap. So, yes. Yes. So that would be what I would kind of recommend for passive skills. It's just kind of a nice little look to look through there and see what you've got. But they're overlooked. A lot of these things are overlooked. Because, oh well, it's just 10%. But if you get 10%, and 10%, and 20%, and 10%, and then you can start buffing things on, by itself, altogether, it starts getting pretty interesting. Alright, I'm going to take a musical break. Yes, Minchy Dogs, if you would listen to people. How did you find me? Then that would be how to find me. And that is me. I've got a couple people asking me some questions about the Hardcore Ascension contest, and so I will talk about that after this next song, specifically because it is starting this next weekend, and so after that I have a whole hour to do all sorts about questions, and I have like three whopping questions, so this will be your chance to actually get a opinion on the game. For those of you who don't know me, I semi have a clue what I'm doing. I've got 20-some-plus ascensions with Ashelon, who's my hardcore character. He's currently doing a hardcore oxy loop, and getting very close to finishing the first one. He's level 10, and I'm saving up days or points, and so I'm not sure. He might make it to level 11, but I've still got to do my pixel farming, which is going to be fun. Yeah. And then Dark Eagle, who's my softcore multi. He is kind of where I tried to do all my speed tests. He has 77 ascensions. And, yeah. He's just tricking along, getting all the skills. Woohoo. Alright, I'm going to give you a little Coldplay, give you 5 minutes to give me some questions. We're going to come back, we're going to talk about the Hardcore Ascension Contest, and then we will answer questions after that. This is Ashlon, this is State of the Kingdom, here on Radio KOL. You guys ever heard 12 Girls Band play this song? It's actually pretty damn cool. Of course, the problem is I don't have it, but I like this little snippet of it. Where was it? You know, the free snippet play that you could do. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean, just it's different how they do it. Because you get all the oriented feel to it, but still the same song. You just went from the piano intro to get it done, and then it actually sounds pretty nifty. Anyway, let's get back to the questions. And Jello Boy's on the 24. Thank you, Jello Boy, for recording the show today. Woman Tillin will appreciate you as will everybody else. All right, let's continue on. Now, a lot of people are gearing up for the Hardcore Ascension contest, which people have asked me, dude, why aren't you doing it? And I'm like, because I don't want to make yet another multi for contests that I'm pretty sure I won't win. See, here's the deal. I'm fast. I'm not hella fast. And there's a difference. There are people who fine-tune and have a lot more focus on their runs than I do. And I'm lazy as hell. I shortcut things because I'm like, eh, damn it, I'm getting beat up. And screw it, turn off the mic and go advice. Whereas, you know, the speedrunners would never do that. You know, I'm like, eh. So, I'm very content with my speedrun. Now, I'm going to... You know, I'm on a kind of like a vacation. I'm on a oxy-loop vacation. And let me tell you this. If you ever get to the point where your hardcore runs, you're so like, because you're worried about them so much day after day after day, I'm serious. Get about 15, 20 skills. Go do an oxy-loop, or at least an oxy-run. And it's just like, because you log in for half the days. You log in, you do snow cones, and then you can like sit and just chill. It's great. Very therapeutic. Very therapeutic. Alright, let's see here. So, the question's basically been two questions that I've seen come up. Number one, what would be the order of skills that you want to take? Number two, what would be the skills that you take? And my wife is saying hi to my cat, who is now leaving the room. Hi, bye. And, my cat likes to sleep on the couch in my office whenever I'm doing my shows. Except for last night when she wanted to meow and get out. I've thought about this a little bit. I've not thought about it a lot, but here's what I would do. And I'm pretty sure that this is going to be open to debate because I can see more than one logic on this. Honestly, I do. But I'm looking at it in terms of quickness to self-sufficiency, and then item usage. So here's what I would do. I would start with a Pasta Mancer and get Pasta Mancery. Reason is that I can get food quick. I would then go to Sorcerer and get Sauce Crafting, because then I can get reagent foods without having to worry about fighting for herbs to get Chow Mein. Now, here's where I debate it. Do I go to my muscle classes next, or do I go Moxie, specifically Disco Bandit, to get Disco Drinks, advanced cocktail crafting? And I thought about it for a while, but then I looked at the stainless steel item, and I was like, you know, if I you get a scarf, And I could really, I mean, I could really see both being possibilities. Steel Clubber, you get a Shillelagh. Disco Bandit, you get the Slacks. The Shillelagh needs a muscle. The Slacks need Moxie. Well, here's what turned it to me, was that the Turtle Tamer item requires Moxie. The Accordion Thief item requires Mysticality. Based on that, and under my own knowledge, is that I can do Teetotaler pretty damn fast without drinks. And so that any other drinks that I have would be just icing on the cake. I went Steel Clubbing next to get LTS, and then I went to Turtle Tamer next to get Amphibian Sympathy, and then I went to Disco Bandit to get Cocktail Crafting, and then Accordion Thief, it doesn't really matter what skill I take. That's my plan. I'm pretty sure that there are going to be people who are going to go Postomancery, Disco Bandit, because then you have food and drinks, and then go back. I can see people doing Disco Bandit after Sorcerer. So, there are lots of ways to play this, and you really have to look at, Hadrider's like, I could be your project for your contest. You can tell me what to do. And I'm like, but I don't know. There are a lot of different ways you can play this. And I guess the question, and here would be the big question in my mind, is would having the Scarf in Steel Clubber and then the Shillelagh in Turtle Tamer, would that offset the adventures you gain by having Disco Bandit drinks two classes later? And that was kind of my big question. And I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's going to be a fun run. So that's what I would do with... I mean, this is my personal thing. I don't know if it would work. I'll talk with you later. Yay, clan. That would be my choice. But then again, I'm pretty sure there are people going, oh, that's a stupid way of doing it. I'm going to do it this way instead. And you know what? That's fine. I'm going to be watching, and I'm probably going to then talk to the winners and kind of see what all they did. Because it might help refine some of my discussion points. Sizzler, who's being gracious enough to hold this contest, who brought this whole thing, he said, he also says, do you know what Zodiac Sunday thinks best to use, assuming that I start as a Possumancer, retain the Possumancer skill? Well, again, I have to go with the logic that speed on ascending is keyed on stats. So I still want stats as much as possible. Now, knowing that I'm hardcore, the mind control device and the scarf are going to be basically your best two ways of getting monster level consistently. I would say the Mist class, I would probably stay as a possum, but I could maybe be persuaded to go to one of the other two from armaments or stat points if I was in a mysticality class. Yay, someone's farming stars for me. Thank you, Topo. Let's see here. So, I would still say go with a mysticality class. And I would put it down, probably stay as possum to get the food bonus for adventures, and then maybe during one of your mysticality classes, once you have food and you're not eating as many, move to a mysticality bonus point stat. So that's my idea. I think it's going to be an interesting contest. I really do think it's going to be an interesting contest. It should be interesting to see how that turned out. And you know, I never looked. Go to the Hall of Records. Did anybody pull off a 3-day ascension? Let me just look here. 13 days, 4 days, 7 days. Oh, Reducto. Did you pull it off during the run? Yes, you did. Okay, so apparently one person did actually pull off the 3-day run, but only one. that was almost doomed from day one when there was no clovers, and then day two there were no clovers, and then day three there were no clovers. So, you know, how the hell are you doing 13-day hardcore oxygenarian runs? What the crap? That's just wrong. I'm looking at that's the thing is that I'm not, they're doing 4 and 5 day teetotaler runs. I can do 8 or 9. I mean, that's just. Oh, Reducto's almighty tallest multi. Okay, well that makes sense. So congratulations, almighty tallest, for pulling that off. Glad somebody was able to do it. So I'm going to try, and I'm not sure if this has been done yet or not, the 3-day level 13 run. Try to get to level 13 in 3 days and ascend. That should be fun. I'm going to ascend Dark Eagle tomorrow. Set up for a double Moxie stat day for the second and third day. And if the RNG is kind to me in the wheels, then life is good. I'm debating if I'm going to pull out the second Icicle or not on Dark Eagle, because I've been pulling one right now and been doing quite well. I'm debating if I pull the second. And if I pull the second, I probably will pull it off, because that was how I got my 2-day ascension. You know, that was a bitch. I almost messed it up because I didn't think about my secondaries. But, tried a level 13 last time, missed it by a day. Did a 415 turn 2-day. I might come back and try it again, see if I can break 400, but not right now. Right now, I'm just focused on the 3-day level 13. Anyway, it looks like some of the buff bots are having issues. Okay. I'm going to play a song, because I have discussed my 2 discussions, and, when we come back, I'm going to read questions. Now, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions. That will take me about, if I'm lucky, 9 or 10 minutes. So, seriously, begs or ring for questions. Otherwise, this next hour, the suckage is going to occur. And, oh, the suckage will be bad. Trust me. You want me to have questions. You need me to have questions. Because otherwise, you start getting radio like this, where I ramble and play songs on a talk show, which is bad. What do I want to play? I'll play this one. This should be fun. This is Ashlon, State of the Kingdom. I need questions. Thank you.